Well, good morning to all of you. It's a blessing to be here, to be gathered with you all. It's a look forward to that. Yeah. Let's start with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, this morning we come before you again, Lord. We're very thankful for this opportunity to gather here as your children, Father, and the family, and to study, to hear your word taught to us again today, Father. Lord, you know the words you've given me, Father, and I just ask that you could bless them and help me to share them in a way that could be edifying for your kingdom and for your glory, Lord. We thank you for them. Just bless them. We pray this all in your name. Amen. So I'm a little scattered this morning, so you'll have to bear with me here a bit. So let's begin by turning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to start reading in verse 12 and read down to verse 23. Paul is giving his benediction here to the last part of this book that he's wrote to the church there. And we'll just start reading in verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very high in love in their work, for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the weak, comfort the feeble-minded, and support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but every follow that which is good, but among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So stop there. The thing I wanted to share with you all this morning is we're going to look at verse 18 a bit. It's in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So we go through life and we face challenges and struggles, and oftentimes there's a lot of things that don't go the way we think they should, and we have a lot of opportunity for not being thankful, but we have more opportunity for being thankful than opportunity for not being thankful. I think there isn't a place we can be or a situation we can be in or that any of us has ever been in that we couldn't find at least one thing to be thankful for. And that's what he's calling us here is to be thankful in everything. Maybe not for everything, but in everything. Sometimes that can be hard, and it can be a challenge to think about those things and to stop and think about the things we can be thankful for. So just to clarify a little bit, there are several different types of trials, It can be a bit of a trial when if I'm at work and I smash my thumb. That can be a trial, but it's not the same as a trial when we're being persecuted or rejected or something like that for the kingdom of God, misunderstood. There's a lot of things that we can face because of our Christian life, living the way God wants us to, that can be a trial or a test for us. And so some of the verses we're going to read don't necessarily apply to smashing my thumb trial, but they all apply to the trials we can face for working in God's kingdom and the challenges or persecution or any of those kinds of things. So as Paul said there in verse 18, God's will is for our lives to give thanks in everything, in every situation we find ourselves in, to spend some time and think about the things that we can be thankful for, and not just be all focused on the things that are negative, but to spend some time and to be thankful, to find things to be thankful for, because it's so easy to look at the big things that don't feel good or are not good, but there's a lot of things to be thankful for, and that'll make a big difference on how, if we can be thankful for some other things in our lives that are going well, that will make a big difference on how we react and handle ourselves and the responses we have in relation to the things that are not going as we would want them to be. But it's a discipline. It's not something that naturally we're not thankful for good things. When we're in the middle of a bad situation, we tend to focus on the bad situation. It's not our human nature, and we need we tend to just want to find, we find more things that are wrong instead of focusing on the good things. God often uses trials in our life to help us grow. That's why they're there. Let's go to, and to glorify Him, let's go to 1 Peter 4, verse 12. We're going to start in verse 12 and read down to 16. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, insomuch as we are partakers of Christ's offerings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye have reproach for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him be not ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. So when I read that the first time, I was pretty intrigued by the first verse there. I felt like I've been in that situation. It says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." It's not like this is weird or new or whatever. God sends these trials in our lives that we have an opportunity to grow, and that was all planned. It's not something strange or weird or whatever you want to say. It was planned, and it happens all the time. we use an example of an accident, or the hurricanes that were down there in Georgia. some of those things come through and we're left trying to figure out what happened or what's going on. But God planned those things in our life that we can, that he can use them to purify us. Or we can be left wondering. It's not just physical things that can leave us wondering, that it can be persecution or rejection or some of those other things that for Christ's sake we suffer and we're trying to figure out what's going on. But that is also part of God's plan, and it's not a strange thing that's been happening since he was on this earth. Let's go down, let's read verse 12. Excuse me. Verse 13. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Here again, we see this rejoice. And also, like we read in 1 Thessalonians, in everything give thanks. When we have those things, and when we're tempted to, you know, when we're standing there trying to figure out what happened, we should work on thinking about the good things, being thankful for those things, and realizing that the reason this has happened is because God's allowed it, and he has a plan for it, and he wants to use it in our life. He wants to use us to, he wants to use these things to help us to grow, and if we allow them to, that's what will happen. But we can also spend so much time focused on the negative thing that just happened that we completely miss an opportunity to grow or to be purified, to have things worked out of our life. You know, in the form of persecution or rejection or some of those things, it's an opportunity to be a partaker of Jesus, of Christ's suffering, as it says there, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. And we can be thankful for the opportunity to experience some of the things that Christ felt when he was on this earth as well. Let's go on down and read verse 14. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. If we're reproached or there's a trial in our life where we're being persecuted or rejected or whatever it may be, misunderstood, it's an opportunity for God to be glorified in our lives by the way we handle those challenges. So in 15 here, but let no one suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. That doesn't, God is not glorified when we are at fault and suffer in those ways. That's not what he's talking about here. We can learn from our mistakes, and we can grow when we have a mistake in our life or a failure. We can grow in that, but and it can be a purifying situation there. But it's not glorifying to God necessarily in that way. We can't. But at the same time, you know, so backing up here, the happy in verse 15, not being in our mistake, the happy are ye, that's in verse 14, doesn't apply to our mistakes. It don't necessarily apply to like getting a speeding ticket or something like that, but it shouldn't. At the same time, we shouldn't be offended or grouchy or allow those things to make us upset. You know, even if we don't think we deserved it, that's not. We can grow in that and learn to we can learn a lesson in our mistake, if I can say what I mean there. And that can glorify God if we can do that. So let's go on down to verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. So if we suffer for doing what is right, that is not something to be ashamed of. That's something to be happy, to rejoice, and to glorify God that we can suffer for his sake. Let's go to 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 3. Just a couple pages here. I think we're just going to break in here in verse 5, actually. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times, wherein we greatly rejoice, though now, for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, we ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, ye believe, yea, rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We're going to stop there. Sorry, it's kind of a chunk right out of the middle. Here we see in verse 6 and 7 that God sometimes uses trials. It says it specifically, wherein, in verse 6, wherein ye getting greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Sometimes we go through a season of trials or things that are not going as we would, you know, want them to be. But it says to that we can use those things in verse 7, that it's a trial of our faith. And it uses the example of gold there. We know gold is something you can't burn up. You know, you try it with fire. The only thing that burns up is the stuff that's not gold in it. So we need, God uses fire to try us in a lot of ways to help us to grow, to cleanse things out of our lives that we don't, that he doesn't want in there anymore, that is sin or something like that, and that's part of the way he does that is through the trials or things that he uses in our lives that come in our lives. He uses those to help us, to purify us, and to burn out those impurities that are in our lives to help us to grow. But Peter says the trial of our faith is much more precious than gold that perisheth. You know, do we actually, it's hard to want those trials in our lives, but it is very, if we use them correctly, it is a very valuable, very valuable in our lives, that we can grow in those things. Let's turn to Matthew 5, verse 10. Sorry, I'm doing a lot of jumping around here. It's just a couple verses here. And it's all through the Bible, this concept is. We'll hit a few more. Matthew 5, verse 10, starting in 10 through 12. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Here is specifically talking about persecution, but I think some of those things also apply to some of our everyday trials. If we can be rejoicing and thankful in those situations, it'll affect tremendously the way that the negative situations affect our life. We can have a positive outcome from a negative situation instead of a negative outcome from a negative situation. Here he uses the phrase "be exceedingly glad," and that's not just okay with it. That's being thankful. For great is the reward in heaven. A couple more. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let's read. I just got a few more. I'll read here. James 1:2-5. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And we see that over and over in the scripture, those verses. So this morning, if we are struggling with, if we do have a situation in our life or a trial and it looks big and we're trying to figure out what's going on and how we're going to make it through this, I know it can look dark and you can't see the end. Obviously, we're in the middle of it. You can't see the end. And it's hard to keep our focus on God and having a proper response in every situation and to focus on the good things. But God is with us, and He wants to use those things to help us to grow. And if we can remember that and keep that in our focus, it'll make a big difference in what we will gain or what we can get from our trials. But don't be discouraged. There is a end to the trials, and God, He is with us in those trials. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage, but be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." And if think about Joshua taking over the leadership of the tribe of Israel at that time, it was in the first chapter there. It was a big thing, and he had a big group of people and a country to conquer, or a huge area to conquer, and he had a lot on his plate. But God was with him, and he'll be with us too if we keep our heart pure and try to learn what he has for us. There is good that we can learn through all of our trials. So thank you all. God bless you.